Welcome back to the Daily Football Show. Adrian Beaker-Horton with you, Joel Freeby-Ferrucci and Joey LaFlummer-Blunker-Lynch. Now, boys, we're excited about this. We wanted to get Steve Horvat on yesterday, but I think they were doing a bit too much celebrating, boys, because, of course, Western Melbourne Group have been included into the A-League. They'll come in next season. It's very exciting. The interim football director, as I said, Steve Horvat, is on the line. Welcome, mate.
Yeah, thank you. One journey's over and another journey begins. It's been an interesting 24 hours since the announcement, to say the least.
Mate, it's absolutely amazing, and we've been exchanging messages over the journey. The one thing that I remember distinctly when you first got involved in this project, and I'll almost quote this, you basically said, this is one of the most exciting things I've ever been a part of in my life, and now it becomes a reality. So, from your own personal perspective, are you absolutely pinching yourself?
Yeah, look, I think it is obviously, you know, when the game is part of your life, you know, I mean, it's intrinsically embedded in our DNA, you know. It's something that we think about when we wake up, we check the overnight scores, you know, from Europe or wherever it is, you know, and at night you're messaging or you know, throwing a jibe at your mates about your team. And so it's something that's part of your life. And obviously, you know, I've been very fortunate to represent and captain my country and do those sort of things on the park. But, you know, probably when I sent that message, you know, to you, it was sort of like, well, this is sort of more than just leaving a legacy on the field and some memories of certain games that you played in. It's more about what you're going to actually deliver for a region and for the game, you know. And I think that's why it sort of was so exciting and so compelling, and why we've, you know, didn't throw our hands in the air at certain stages of the whole process and say it's just too hard. We thought we're going to ride it out because, you know, this sort of a project is never easy. It's never easy to get something like this funded, to get, you know, a council like Wyndham Council to buy into, you know, our vision. So, look, remarkable. And look, you know, we just want to get on with the job now.
This is a bit of a broad one, Steve, but no doubt there's no time to waste now. Because there's only sort of 10 months of turnaround time before you guys enter the competition. So, broadly speaking, what's the first order of business for yourself and all the other people behind the scenes?
Well, you sort of were able to get to a certain point in the process. Obviously, we, have earmarked, you know, potential staff. You know, we've been talking to potential players and coaches over the last few months, but you could only get to a certain point and then say to the, to the prospective, person you're speaking to that, well, this is all subject to, because in 3 weeks' time or 2 weeks' time or a month's time, it could all go away. So, you know, we were able to get to a certain point in planning, but then it was like, okay, well, now we just put the handbrake on and wait. So, you know, it's now about putting people in positions. And look, and the flip side of that is the fact that because it got delayed and we had to wait, you know, we actually lost a couple of potential people that would have been in our organization who have moved on to other jobs, you know, because and prospective players and coaches who couldn't wait any longer. You know, coaching is you're only as good as your last game proposition. So, you know, a couple of coaches that we spoke to had taken up jobs since we spoke to them. So, you know, that's the difficult thing at the moment, to hit the ground running. We're not daunted at all by the prospect of getting a team up in 10 months. You know, we are pretty well through our group connected through World Football and, you know, have got access to a number of people. So we're not daunted, but definitely there's a lot of work to do. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, I think, Steve, maybe if I could make a suggestion purely so I can be entertained when I'm in press conferences and that, Sam Allardyce is free. Give him a call, maybe. Big Sam in the A-League, I'd pay to see it. I did just want to ask you, of course, not only do you have to do all of that important stuff, but there's also the matter of, with a new club, the fun stuff. You get to design a kit, you get to choose your colours, to even choose a name. I remember I was at that first fan forum that you did in Wyndham before the process, before you received the licence. What's going to be the process now for getting more of those off the ground and getting fans in the West involved in making those decisions?
Well, what we did do, and obviously you were present at the fan forum, but what we've run over, you know, if you followed our social media, probably since about August, you know, we've been constantly been throwing suggestions. Even on our website, we've had polls about names, colours. People have designed kits. If you go scroll back through our Facebook timeline, there's literally between 50 and 100 kit designs that people have done. So, you know, we've got all this stored up. Now, there's no doubt we want to get out there and do a bit of a roadshow. We want to target again the west of Melbourne, but we want to get out to Ballarat. We want to get out to Geelong and go and talk to the fans. You know, the problem is we have a limited time frame. So we need to try and do that as soon as possible. And we need to try and lock in colours, a name, a badge as soon as possible as well, because that's what we've found throughout the journey. People, you know, people get sick of hearing the old rhetoric. When you start talking to the football fan about what's your badge, what your colour, that's what gets people excited. And you know what? From day one, that was our vision. That's what gets me excited when I go to a stadium and I walk in there and the stadium is coloured as the team. Mm. The stadium is completely branded in the club. You know, the seats have got the club's name on there. You know, all of those things we're going to have. And it's really, look, at the A-League level, you know, I won't talk about, obviously, you know, clubs have owned their own facilities at various levels in the game, but I'm purely talking at an A-League level. For a matter of fact, I mean, at any elite sports level, I mean, you know, there's no professional sporting team in this country that will have the setup and the ownership structure that we do. So, you know, we're really grateful that Wyndham bought in. We're grateful that the AFFA bought in, that this is really a game changer for the sport. And you know, we might have been banging on about that one point. You know, it's really what we just wanted to drive home over the last couple of months, that, you know, this is a now or never proposition. And I know people sort of said that, oh, you're holding the FFA to ransom. No, it isn't. I mean, if people understood the Western Corridor, they understand that you can be standing in a paddock today, and in 12 months' time, there's a suburb in that paddock. That's the reality, you know. So, you know, it really was important that we got over the line, and hopefully we're successful, and hopefully it's a template that other clubs can use in the future.
I love it. Everything to me screams out tribalism, and I know that's exactly what you've tried to project to a lot of different people with your fan forums. Some of the closed Facebook groups that you've got off the ground have been tremendous. It allows an opportunity to talk to the actual punters and those fans that will no doubt embrace this team. The name and the colours, again, I love it because that's what it's all about. I want to walk into a stadium that has the crest and the colours everywhere and it's in your face and, you know, you can really smell it and feel it and act as if it's your very own. So is there any idea around, you know, the name or the colours, or again, is that going to be very much a fan-focused thing?
Look, I honestly think we've narrowed it down to maybe three or four. Now, whether we go back out to the fans, it's really going to be how we assess how our timing is, you know, and that's really important, you know, because like you said, that's what engages and gets the fan excited. So I think the sooner we can come out with that, the better, you know, the sooner, you know, we had a Wyndham Council press conference today, the sooner we can, you know, sit at our own press conference announcing our colours, our name, our badge, I think will be a red letter day for us. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make that happen as quickly as possible.
Steve, I also wanted to ask you, perhaps in your capacity as the football director, there's been a lot of excitement, people talking about potential marquees and all of that sort of stuff. But on the other side of that, what sort of involvement do you foresee West Melbourne Group, or whatever name you end up settling on, as having with NPL sides at a local level? Will you be looking to recruit from NPL sides from out in the west of Victoria? Will you extend your reach across to all NPL sides in Victoria? What's the go to engage local local players that might now see another side from Melbourne in the A-League as that opportunity for their big break?
Well, I think we've been pretty adamant that, you know, we want to come in and we want to win the competition in season one. I mean, that's our goal. Now, on the flip side of that, and to counterbalance that, we've said all along that we believe that there is an incredible amount of untapped talent in this country. And we as a club are not going to be in the business of just recycling A-League players. That is something that we have said, and that's something that we're going to stick to. Now, I think there's talent out there, and I think that what we need to do is to give these players time. It's no use bringing players that are semi-professional or not even at that semi-professional level and give them a couple months and then say, well, they're not good enough. I think you need more time. I mean, it's not going to be a Usain Bolt type trial, but what you need to do is give these kids time to be in that professional environment. So you need to be a good talent spotter, an ID spotter of good talent, but they need to have the work ethic. And I think that, so we are desperate to make sure that we give plenty of opportunity to young players in this country. I mean, we're going to build an academy, an elite training center base that will be world class. So, but we need to find players that are hungry. We need to find young players that want to be great, that want to work hard, that want to achieve their dreams. I mean, we had the mantra of dream big early on, and that's the vision that we had from day one with this project. So anyone we bring in, whether it's a coach, whether it's a marquee, you know, we're not going to bring in a marquee here that is just going to be here to collect some superannuation. We want to bring a marquee, and I think it's a great example of what Honda is doing at Victory. He's almost single-handedly lifting the level of intensity of that club.
Yeah.
That's so important because I've played at the highest level. I understand what it takes, but I think we need to instill that discipline and work ethic in our young talent in this country. That is then going to deliver in spades for the Matildas, for the Socceroos, and players who aspire to play in Europe because they need the tools and they need to understand how hard it is to make it. And I think, you know, that isn't really done at this point in time. And you know, and when you get a comment like that from a Honda, or you get somebody like him at his age that wants to come in here and he does extra training session, works hard, that's the example that of the players that we bring in, that's what they need to pass on. So if you bring in a marquee, it's not just about the razzle dazzle and the name. It's about obviously delivering on the park, but it's about showing and setting the standard for the young players in the club.
Just to touch on the whole identity thing again, Steve, there's no doubt that the vision clearly from Western Melbourne Group, and you've been on the record with this the whole way through, is always to capture sort of that broader Western region, which is obviously a big market, obviously the likes of Ballarat, Wyndham and Geelong as well, and Cadinia Park is going to be the home venue, so we think, for probably the first 3 years or so. But I think what's interesting is how do you sort of think you'll go about making sure that all of those catchments will be sort of targeted and ensure that they feel part of this team? Because I think my biggest worry is probably just that there's the possibility of, I guess, that scope narrowing to Geelong while the stadium's going up. So how do you think you'll think go about that?
I think you've got to be committed to it. If you give it lip service, it'll never work. Now, we are going to unveil a schools program. We're going to have these really our presence in the community. Now, if you say you're going to do it and then don't deliver it, then that shows up in the engagement and in the terraces. Now, you know, obviously, and just to set the record straight, you know, we are coming in October 29. We intend to start turning dirt in less than 6 months at our stadium. So we have told the council are backing us, our developer, our building, stadium builder is backing us, saying that we'll be playing our first game in season three. So, you know, this misconception that we're going to be at Cadinia Park for 4 or 5 years is a furphy, and I just wanted to set the record straight that our intention is to be playing our first game in season three in our new stadium in Wyndham. So, you know, a lot of our focus on what we're doing now, as well as obviously building, you know, a team and a club and a fan engagement, is to make sure that, you know, we are getting our building up and running as quickly as possible. And already over the last 24 hours, you know, we've received assurances from not only council, but state government and even federal government that they will do everything they can to fast track permits, etc. So, you know, that is our intention. So, you know, obviously we have to make do until we are in our home with other venues. And I think, you know, Geelong is a huge catchment area. It's obviously why Victory has been coming down here for a few seasons. And, you know, it's a stadium that now with the new stand is world-class. You know, there's world-class facilities in there and you feel like you're at a real stadium. Obviously, I'm a football purist as many million people out there are as well, and we all want to be in our purpose-built stadium as quickly as possible. But as David Gallop said at the media launch yesterday, is this was the best viable temporary option out there in the marketplace. So we have to use that as a strength, not as a weakness. But like you said, and what I reiterate is the fact that you have to go into the communities and mean it. You know, you can't just give them lip service. Otherwise, they won't repay the faith.
Steve, just very quick one from me before we get to Adrian to finish up. But you've mentioned coming in 2019, 2020. Any chance that we might see West Melbourne Group playing in the FFA Cup?
Look, I mean, that I'm not sure about that. I haven't had that discussion with the FFA yet. Obviously, you know, 24 hours ago, we weren't even a club. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we need to flesh out. Obviously, there's, you know, how is the fixture going to look like next season and all those sort of things, you know. So there's many, many discussions to be had. But look, obviously, if there was an opportunity, we would like to get in as quickly as possible.
So, Steve Marquise, I'm pretty excited because this morning I was listening to SEN and Adam Peacock was on the show, and he said that a certain Zlatan Ibrahimovic might be on Lou Sticker's radar. Now, we know the pedigree of Lou Sticker, and of course, he's brought some of the biggest stars in world football out to these shores. So I wouldn't put anything past Lou and what he can do. Zlatan, is it a legitimate process that you may go through with him? I know Fernando Torres is also someone that's been thrown up. Yaya Toure, again, another player. I know Rob Crawford, our producer here, is being a little bit of a smart ass and saying Danny Welbeck, which is an in-joke on the show, so don't worry about that, Steve. But those players I've mentioned, like, this could legitimately happen. I think it can, with Lou behind it. Is there any inkling? Can you give us anything? Can the fans get excited about some of these names?
Look, that's definitely the level that we are looking at. There's no doubt about it. We know that we have to come into this competition and make a splash. That's why we make no bones about saying that we are coming in to try and win the competition in our first season. I mean, we're not coming in to make up the numbers and so forth. You know, in our financial modelling, we have already factored in marquee-type wages for players. So, you know, that's been our thought all along. Now it's a reality of looking at the options. We've already been looking at and talking to some agents of that sort of that level of player over the last couple of months. And there's some really interesting names that I wish I could say, but I will keep under wraps. But definitely, it is of that type of level. And you know, you need to be careful because, you know, I personally don't think somebody like a Fernando Torres, even as great as a player as he was, would actually deliver at this level at this point in his career. So, you know, you need to be careful that, you know, a name is a name, but at the same time, you know, you need to be able to deliver on the park. And, you know, obviously, you know, the A-League is not as technically as level as a standard as Europe is or some of those competitions, but it's still a pretty physical league, you know, so you've got to be able to handle that physicality and, you know, playing through summer and hard pitches and all. So you've got to take a lot of those things into consideration, which sometimes I think clubs don't do. So, you know, we're very mindful of understanding that we need a marquee player. I think the league needs marquee players. You see the excitement that somebody like Honda has brought into the competition. And obviously, Lou has been linked, you know, and obviously delivered those type of players in the past, season one, Dwight York, et cetera. So, you know, we are talking to a lot of people. We are convening tonight for a quick phone chat to talk about the latest potential opportunities. So, yeah, watch this space.
There we go. I like that. I'm going to put a line through Torres, but I'm going to remain excited about Zlatan. That's my take out of it anyway.
And as I said, Steve, Big Sam, big thumbs up.
Big Sam as well. I don't know about that, Steve, but I kind of like it, Joey. Anyway, we'll wrap up.
Actually, I saw Joey actually putting something about Sam Allardyce on social media.
Yeah, Big now, Sam.
I've actually stayed away from social media for the last 24 hours because I'm absolutely inundated, but I managed to see that. And I'm thinking only if he brings that earpiece that he used to wear when he's in the stand along, would he be an option?
Just big Sam, big A-League, big football, big everything.
That's weird. We're gonna start the hashtag. Steve, we're going to let you go. Western sure. Melbourne Group, as we said, congratulations. Very exciting times for you and all the gang down there. And you're right, there's not a lot of time. So all the hard work begins now. So best of luck with it. And no doubt we'll stay in touch with you.
No worries. Better get off the phone and get to it, mate.